In re azatia zarain, Maria ampara azatia zarain, appellant in pro se.
I am here, Your Honor, but there's a problem with the video.
All right. Do you know if you're able to fix it, or do you want to just go forward with audio?
I start my video. Oh, okay, I got it.
Okay, there we go. Okay, go ahead and make your appearance, and you've got 15 minutes, okay?
Okay, can you hear me well?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, let me make sure that I can hear you. Okay. Your Honor, my name is Maria Cesarain. I'm appearing pro se. This is regarding case number 251177. I would like to begin by addressing the dismissal order. Do you have any questions on the dismissal order?
I think our main question is, why are you here? Since you voluntarily moved to dismiss your case, even though the judge didn't dismiss it on that basis, since you moved to dismiss, how are you prejudiced or damaged by the dismissal anyway?
Yes, that's a great question. Thank you, Your Honor. The problem that I would point out is that the court dismissed my case based on the trustee's motion to dismiss instead of my motion to voluntarily dismiss.
Excuse me, judges. Sorry for interrupting. Ms. Adizarian, please mute the speaker on your laptop.
If I mute it, you can't hear me the other one. Let me see. Okay, is this better?
I think so. We were getting some feedback.
Okay. Should I repeat?
Well, are we getting the same feedback?
We're asking our technician if he can hear that, because what we're getting is a repeat from your devices.
Yeah.
Madam, you need to mute the speaker on your laptop itself, not the phone.
Okay, hang on a second. It's muted. Hang on.
Your microphone is muted on the laptop, but you need to mute the speaker.
Okay, I got it. Is that better?
About the same.
Hang on. Is that better? Is it getting better?
I think we lost the feedback. Is that right?
It's clear.
We lost the feedback, but it's very difficult to hear. If judges are okay with that, we can proceed.
Okay. Well, go ahead and speak up. Let's see how we do.
So, I don't know what to do if you want to be on the phone, because the other device is muted. So I don't know why you have an echo.
Sorry, Judge.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Madam, your speakers are on the laptop. I know your microphone is muted, but the speakers are on. You need to turn the volume down on the speakers on the laptop.
Is it better for you?
Yes.
Okay, it's not better for me. I can barely hear you. So hang on a second. I'm going to test something.
No, now we can't hear you at all.
So we're going to continue on this point. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
Can we continue now? Yes?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat what you just said?
Can we continue?
Yeah. If you could address the question. We understand that the bankruptcy court dismissed on the basis of the trustee's motion, and you've appealed that decision. My question again is, why should we be concerned what the basis was when you voluntarily moved to dismiss under 1307B anyway? So what's the difference? Why are you here?
The difference, Your Honor, between my motion and the trustee motion is that the voluntary dismissal under Section 1307B carries no findings of bad faith. It carries no adverse consequences for future filing. It's a statutory right, and it creates a clean record, no refiling restrictions. The trustee's motion is under Section 1307C, and it's dismissal for cause. It creates a record of cause based dismissal, follows me into every future proceeding, can be used to support adverse inferences of bad faith, can restrict refiling rights. It carries consequences that I did not earn. No bad faith findings existed before I filed. And I will refer to document 66.
So the injury that you're trying to redress is not present by virtue of the order. It's present by virtue of what you might do in the future that could be negatively impacted if the future court relies upon something this court entered in this proceeding. Is that a fair statement of your position? Okay, I'm not sure we understood other than that you disagree, so maybe you could say it louder and then tell us what that is.
Yes, we disagree. Again, voluntary dismissal is a different right. It's a statutory right, and it proceeds.
Ma'am, we're not hearing you very well. If you want to hold the phone closer or something. We're still not hearing you terribly well. If you can pull the phone a little closer, maybe that's going to help, okay? Yeah. That's better.
Okay. So the difference between my motion and the trustee motion is that my motion is under Section 1307B, which is a voluntary dismissal, and the trustee's motion is under Section 1307C, which is dismissal for cause. Mm-hmm. Under the voluntary dismissal, I have no findings of bad faith. I have no adverse consequences for future filings. I am not planning to file, and I have to file not from anything that I did, but by breach of third party. So this is just a little insight that I want to bring up.
Can I make a couple of points to you? If you're going to file another bankruptcy case, you're probably going to have to show your good faith and get over bad faith assumptions anyway. So why is this any different?
Well, it's not only just bad faith, Your Honor. It is also refiling rights and consequences that I did not earn. So I did not cause me a filing for cause. I don't think that we... In any case, it is a statutory right, and I think that it should be weighed heavily because I voluntarily dismissed the case.
Well, it's also true. I mean, you may have a statutory right to dismiss. The bankruptcy court has the judicial power to condition that, right?
If I have earned it.
No. The bankruptcy court has the judicial power to condition your dismissal, including, although it didn't do it here, barring you from future filings, right?
Yes,
sir. Okay, so then Judge Gann and I are wondering where the harm is.
The harm is that in the future, the record will say that I was dismissed for cause, and I did not have a cause to be dismissed.
The statute 362C3 talks about a case filed and dismissed within a year. It doesn't specifically say that it was dismissed for cause under the statute, that which would create some kind of a problem. It only looks to whether there was a dismissed case within a year of the filing of the subsequent case. So if you file a second case within a year, the fact that it was dismissed under 1307C versus 1307B doesn't come into play. What comes into play is whether or not there's change in your financial circumstances and any reason to believe that the second case, if that's filed, would result in a confirmed plan that would be fully performed by you. That's what the issue is, and good faith, of course, because you have to file in good faith at any time under Chapter 13. So I'm not clear I understand what your argument is. I'm just not clear how that is consistent with the statute, 362C3.
And what I'm looking at is Lowe versus Siegel, which is a statutory command that is mandatory and cannot be displayed. It says the court had no predicate to bypass my statutory right, and no bad faith findings existed. I will go to point number two.
All right.
Because I don't know if you have any other questions. I am limited to the research that I did to submit the opening brief. I do not have experience in why, my rights should be, under the trustee's motion. Every research that I've done is that if I voluntarily filed before the hearing, then my statutory right is that it has to be under the voluntary dismissal.
I think we got that point. Go ahead and move to number two, please.
Okay. Argument number two, point number two that I'm going to make is, and I moved around so much that I've lost, bear with me a second, I've lost my.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to move the phone closer again because we just can't hear you. What is point number two?
I'm coming to. I think that it's very important to note that case number, this case stems from a previous case filed very shortly in a very brief period of time. It is a second case. The first case is, it's also under, it was also appealed to the BAT, and the BAT case number is 251107. So that's a related case that now we have to look at both cases, because this case did not need to be filed
were not for the failures of the first case. The first case had a duration of 61 days. It was dismissed effectively. And I raised those points on the BAT case, which is the 25-1107. I'm only going to touch briefly on those points. I'm not requesting that you rehear that case here. But it's relevant because the two cases are linked. 10 days after the case, the first case was dismissed. This case is the 25-1107. I had to file this current case that we are here for, which is case 25-1177. 10 days. The duration of this case was 91 days. So the first case was 61 days, and the second case was 91 days, which are the early preliminary stages of setting the cases up and organizing. So I want to make sure that I'm on the record saying that the reason for having to file this case is directly relevant and related to the dismissal of the first case. The first case was dismissed on a $34 fee that the clerk charged for changing or amending the master list, where I amended it by removing an agent of a creditor. Now, both you, the BAT panel, and the bankruptcy court did not rule whether the fee was appropriately charged, whether it was valid. It didn't. It bypassed it. And so, but I want to point out that this case, and you cannot decide this case, I think, in my opinion, from my readings, and I'm very, very clear that this case is now so tied into that first case that whatever you decide here is it cannot be divorced or it cannot be isolated from the first case.
Okay, and ma'am, you're now over your time, and the matter's submitted, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll get you a written decision as soon as we can. Okay, and with that, I think we've concluded the calendar for today. Yes. We are adjourned.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
All rise. The court is now adjourned.